Please turn in your hymnal to page 828, and we will do the responsive psalm reading, Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the peoples. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises. Tell of all God's wonderful works. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgments God has uttered. O offspring of Abraham, God's servant, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones. The Lord is our God, whose judgments are all in the earth. The Lord is mindful of his everlasting covenant, of the word commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant made with Abraham, his promise sworn to Isaac and confirmed to Jacob is a statute. To Israel is an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance.
Let us turn to the second reading from the gospel, from the Bible, not yet the gospel. Let us turn to the Hebrew Bible, to the book of Exodus. Exodus 3, verses 1 through 15. If you reach forward to the Pew Bible or pull out the one you brought, at least in the Pew Bible, it's on page 48 of the Hebrew Bible, and you can follow along. An old but a very important story of God's covenant. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses! And he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today is from Paul's letter to the Roman church. It's from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, And if you'd like to follow along, you can find that on page 151 of the New Testament in the Pew Bible. Hear these words. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, let me ask you to turn now to the final lesson from the Bible, the gospel lesson, the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. You can find it on page 17 of the New Testament of your Pew Bible. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. What exactly did Jesus mean by this? What is he really asking of you and of me? Well, for the moment at least, let us focus on the cross. The cross is a symbol of our faith, a symbol of the Christian church, but I wonder if many of us have come to take the meaning of the cross for granted. If this morning on Sunday, if you had instead walked into any Roman Catholic church, and if you were to look up over the altar where Holy Communion is celebrated, you will surely see a cross, but it will be very different from the one hanging above the Lord's table here in our church. The Roman Catholic cross has a depiction of the body of Jesus hanging there as he was crucified on Calvary. So the Roman Catholic cross is called a crucifix. It is a graphic reminder of the atonement of Jesus, the heavy price he paid for our sins as he was crucified and then died on the cross on Good Friday. On the other hand, if you were to walk into a Protestant church like a United Methodist church, if you see a cross, it will be an empty cross like ours, or like the one that you see on the cover of your bulletin. This cross reminds us that Jesus indeed was crucified, but that he also was resurrected 3 days later. That's why the cross is empty. Jesus is no longer there. Jesus could not be stopped by the very worst and the most humiliating punishment of the Roman Empire. By dying and rising once again, Jesus forever destroyed the power of sin and death for all people for all time. Both kinds of crosses have lessons for us, but I believe that this symbol may have lost some of its meaning. Many people wear a cross around their necks. Is that simply a piece of jewelry? Or is it a tangible confession of their faith? When we come into church and look up at our beautiful cross, is it a dramatic architectural or artistic element of the sanctuary? Or is it a graphic reminder of our call to discipleship? The cross has come to mean Christianity, the religion of those who follow Christ. Many of you can likely recite with me the mission of the United Methodist Church because you have it memorized: to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Have we come to take this statement for granted as well? If you are truly serious about making disciples of Christ, then it follows that you should clearly see yourself as a follower of Christ. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." The notes in my study Bible help me to understand Jesus' call. It says, to deny oneself is to turn from whatever hinders faithful and lived commitment. Jesus wants you to turn away from selfishness and the temptations that might keep you from truly becoming a committed follower of Christ. Jesus is asking you to take up your cross. In other words, to make a definite and considered decision to take action, just as you would if you were to physically pick up a heavy wooden cross. You must decide to follow Christ. You must decide to pick up that cross. You must decide that from now on, all of your actions will be part of a concerted effort to do the will of God, to help bring about the kingdom of God, to bring glory to God. Well, Jesus goes on to say, those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Is Jesus asking you to be a martyr for your faith, to truly give up your life as a Christian? Well, nearly every one of those 12 men who first heard these words would go on to do just that, to die for their belief in Jesus as the Messiah. And to be honest, there are sisters and brothers in the faith around this world who have given up their very lives in this 21st century because they believe in Jesus Christ. The stakes for following Jesus can be very high indeed. But for you, as a Christian in North America, the cost of discipleship may not necessarily be that extreme. But the opposite is also absolutely true. Jesus is calling you to go beyond only looking out for number one. If all you do throughout your life is look after your own self-interest or the welfare of your own family, then you will lose the opportunity for eternal life. You must choose to be selfless as opposed to selfish in response to all of God's blessings in your life. Jesus is calling you to confront the injustices of our time, to work to end hunger and homelessness, to end poverty and war and racism and discrimination. In other words, Jesus is calling you to work for the completion of the kingdom of God. Doing good deeds is not enough, though. You must act for goodness because of Christ, because you are responding to the grace of God, the unconditional love of God. In other simpler words, you should pattern your life on the life of Jesus. To follow Jesus is a difficult task for which you will most certainly pay a price. So what does that entail, you might rightly ask? What does that look like? Well, this is one of those Sundays when the lectionary provides us with wonderful continuity. If you turn to the words of Paul to the churches in Rome, the words that Bill read to us, you'll find a few of the answers to the question of what it looks like to deny yourself, to pick up your cross, to lose your life for Jesus' sake. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. And this is but the starting point of what is involved if you truly want to follow Jesus. This wonderful section of Romans can and should provide you with many hours of thought and prayer and reflection. The cross is a powerful symbol of our faith and our church. To be Christian is to follow Christ. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. To be a Christian is to lose your life to the cross. Amen.